Welcome to another journey. UFOs, Aliens, History, and the Mystery of Human Being podcast. Well, thanks for listening. I do appreciate it. I really do a lot. I guess I'll get the normal stuff out of the way right away. Please leave a review. Leave a rating and review on this. If you're an iPhone or Apple listener, that really helps. The more people who leave reviews, especially good reviews, the higher or the more chance it'll move up, and then more people will see the show, and then I'll get more listeners. So, you know, it helps me out a lot. And I I would really love the help. So I was thinking, first, I guess the next thing I want to get out of the way before I get into talking is, tonight I'm going to read chapter 4 of the Adam and Eve story. The event 11,500 years ago is the title of the chapter. It's fairly short, so, you're looking forward to the next chapter, it will be right after I'm done talking here, so I don't know. I won't be talking very long tonight, but I do have a couple things I wanted to bring up. So the first thing I wanted to talk about tonight, UFO Twitter or UFO reminds me a lot of just how polarized the world is, or especially the United States, even the world. I find it weird that not everybody works together. Not everybody kind of works toward a single goal. You know, we're all split up. We're all doing our thing, yes, but why don't we have a target? We're here for a brief amount of time. Very brief, especially considering how large and infinite and vast the universe is. Why is everybody so split or torn or polarized? It bothers me. I'll use politics for an example, how a country is divided between Republicans and Democrats, and then there's a few outlying parties like Libertarians and stuff like that, but for the most part it's either Republican or Democrat. I mean, even if you're a Libertarian, you're probably gonna lean towards Republicans when it comes to major elections, like for the president, let's say. And so the country's divided. And then you look at Twitter, UFO Twitter. It seems to be divided like that. Like, it's either you're on Lou Elizondo's side, or you think he's garbage and you don't want nothing to do with him. And why is that? Why is everything, no matter what, divided? You know, I always thought, my thought is everything needs balance. At least this is what I used to think, that there has to be a balance or opposition or whatever. You know, wherever there's a bad guy, there's got to be a good guy. Or wherever there's someone who believes in something, there's got to be someone else who believes in something else. It's just kind of how human beings are, kind of how the world is. Sorry about that, a window alert just popped up and it went ding. But why is that? I thought balance, but now I'm beginning to kind of change my stance on that, because I think, and as you know, I've changed the name of the show and I'm kind of taking a new direction, even though I'm still sticking to UFOs. I love UFOs. I love UFO sightings. I mean, nothing that'll ever change that. I love the whole aliens and the whole kind of, when looking up into the sky at night, just, I don't know. It just kind of makes my imagination go, but so I'm going down a spiritual path is why I'm saying that. And that's why I'm changing kind of the show a little bit. I'm on like a spiritual journey. You know, I'm torn on my religion. In fact, I don't have a religion per se. And I don't think anybody really should have a strict religion, let's say. Like, if you're a Christian, then you're a Christian. If you're a Catholic, you're a Catholic. If you're a Mormon, you're a Mormon. You know, if you're a certain religion, that's it. You're with that religion your entire life. And if you don't follow that religion your entire life, then, you know, certain religions will scare you into thinking you're going to hell or you're just a bad person, or your family will shun you, or, you know, it's just, and I don't like that. I think religion should be a journey. Like, we should search for meaning in our lives, individually and globally, we should really just, as far as religion goes, we should just be on a constant find, because, you know, we're here for a brief amount of time and we don't know what happens. I mean, most of us, some people think they know what happens, and some religions kind of are definitive on what happens. Like, if you're a good person, then you're going to move on. If you're not, then you're going to either come back or go. Or if you're a bad person, then you're going to go burn in eternity. And that just doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't feel right. I don't think there's got to be something more. There's got to be a creator. It just doesn't make sense that there isn't. And there's so much evidence of the afterlife. People with near-death experiences. Buddhist monks or monks and people like that having these meditation, like sadhus, just gaining like this, I don't know, out of body or astral projection experience where they're more. There's people who claim to be in contact with beings through their mind. And then there's people who take psychedelics who say, yes, this is true. You know, you go on a psychedelics and DMT, and you can have a breakthrough event where you actually astral project. And then your eyes open to kind of like this new experience of, some people call it the afterlife. Some people call it a hallucination. And it could be either or. It could be both. You know, it could be, who knows what it is. I sure don't. I've never had a breakthrough moment like that. I have, in the past, taken hallucinogenics. You know, it's when I was younger, I took mushrooms several times and acid twice. But never had a moment like that. You know, mostly visual hallucinations. Although one time on a mushroom trip, I had an amazing one where I stepped outside and I was on a balcony and I looked down into kind of like this area. I don't know, like this quad or garden, or it wasn't a garden. It was more like a field of grass, like a rec area, recreational area. But it was just all trees and grass, and it was all flat. But the grass the lawn was moving up and down, and it looked almost like a chest. Or in my head, it seemed to me like it was breathing, like the earth was actually breathing when I was watching this grass. It was quite amazing. I never thought of it as significant. I just thought it was cool. You know, I was young and just thought that was a cool experience. But now I see that as it possibly was a spiritual experience, and I just didn't see it for what it was. And people who take these psychedelics have these experiences, and even more, where they go into these other realms, it seems, and it just, it's an eye-opening experience. And I think we, as a species, should be searching and seeking what else there is out there. Not necessarily, we should be also satisfied and blessed that we are humans and we are on this planet and we do and get to experience this as being humans. But instead, we're always seem to be arguing and fighting and separate and disagreeing, and it's just polarizing, and everything's polarized now. And I don't know, it's a little depressing that the world's like that to me. But yeah, so I'm on a spiritual journey, obviously. And you know, and I'm not dogging any religion or anybody's beliefs, because just because I disagree with it doesn't mean I'm right. You know, I could be very wrong, and any one of these religions could be absolutely right, or even maybe multiple are correct. Who knows, you know? But I think we all need to sit down and take a look at ourselves and just, I don't know, see inside ourselves and see who we are, and kind of give ourselves meaning. And we have our families, which we love. We all love our families. A lot of us have our pets, which we love. A lot of us have our friends, which we love, and we would do anything to protect these others that we love. We would do anything. And I think that gives meaning, a lot of meaning, and there's something more to that. And I think it's a beautiful thing, how people are willing to go to any length to protect their families because of, out of love. And it's just a beautiful emotion. But then you turn around and you look at politics, and all it is people hating on the other party or someone else's opinion about something. And it's not disagreements anymore. It's not like a friendly, you know, well, yeah, I you like Trump, well, screw that guy, I hate that guy, he's evil, and screw you because you like that guy. Or the current president, Biden. It's the same way with people. You know, they're either love him or hate him. Most people hate him. I do not like him at all. Just if you want my personally, but I don't want to get into politics talk. Nor if people want to talk politics with me, I stay away from it, because all it does is turn into arguments instead of disagreements, and kind of saying, oh yeah, you got a point, I understand that, but And instead, it's just screw you because you like that person or you voted for that person. It's upsetting. So I don't like to talk politics. So I guess enough on spirituality and that, and enough on politics. Another question I asked myself is, I've always prided myself as a very hard worker. You know, I just love working. I've always found, found it a source of pride being a hard worker. Well, why is that? Why is it that I and a lot of people just work and want to work? The more I look at that, the more I find it unusual. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with hard work. Yeah, hard work is great. It's a great stress reliever. It keeps you person busy, keeps you motivated, it keeps you in shape. You know, there's a lot of positives to hard work, and it's just that it seems like, what I'm saying is that we work our lives away, and then we don't look into other things that we can find, or maybe we do. I work now, and I've found other things, and I'm still a hard worker, and I'll never, you know, it's kind of beat into me now at this point in my life where I may not want to go to work every day, but I do, and I'll always do my best because it's just a source of pride with me. But why, you know, why is that? Why is there a symbol, you know, why is it a source of pride to be a hard worker? When there's so many other things out there, and when this world is so beautiful, the planet, there's so much other things out there that we can do. And I know we are working hard to improve our lives and the lives of society by continuing to work, and I understand that. And there's nothing wrong with it. I don't want it to be misunderstood. I just look at it and I don't know. I guess when I was thinking it earlier, it had different meaning than it does now, and that happens a lot. You know, I'll think something. I think, man, why don't I work so hard? Why aren't I doing something else? Doing something that I want to do instead of doing something I have to do. Because, and that's kind of, I guess that's the point of my rant or my discussion on work is, you know, I work and I work hard, but I want more. I want to experience the world. I want to travel. You know, I want to do all kinds of different things. And I guess the only way I can achieve those things is by working, because you know, that's the only way I'll be able to save the money to put away to do it. But I do want to do other things. I'd rather use my time working on this show or working on a podcast and writing, and maybe writing a book or two. But you know, like everybody, you know, I got bills. We all got bills, and so we have to work, or we have to do that to take care of our families. So, but then I see other people, you know, certain people who, I don't know, I guess they figured things out, or they understand more, they're smarter maybe, or they just have a way to figure it out and figure out that like actors, let's say, for example, in Hollywood, or producers or directors or whatever, they figured out that all they have to do is make a movie, get paid a bunch of money, and then they can go do whatever they want, or you know, and things like that, or just arts, things in the art world. People can do one thing, like make a painting, sell it for a bunch of money, and then won't have to do anything for a little while until they have to make another one. And I don't understand why all of us don't do that, you know. Why I haven't done that, you know. I'm doing this podcast, but you know, there's a lot of reasons why, but you know, I guess one of the main reasons is because I have trouble talking to people. I'm a quiet person, very shy, and want to teach myself how to be able to speak and have a conversation, and by doing so I'll become maybe a better writer. But I'm also doing the show because it's just something I want to do, and like, you know, UFOs and mysteries and megaliths and all kinds of things. It's just something that just intrigues me to will intrigue me to the end of time, just because it's stuff that and so I can talk about the stuff too, and I can research it and enjoy doing the research and stuff like that. So, and that's, you know, and that's part of the reason why. And then I hope I grow an audience and people like the show, and I can use this show to you know, maybe perhaps do more or do this full time. But you know, that'll take a while. I understand that it takes a long time and it takes a lot of politicking. Like, you know, I'll have to go on other shows and do other things and give interviews and get people, you know, who have names, big names, or just who have following or who are influencers, to come on my show and listen, and maybe I'll get a few of their listeners to start listening to me. And you know, there's a lot of that stuff, and that's hard for me to do because I'm, like I said, I'm quiet, I'm shy, and I have a hard time speaking to people face to face, I guess. And so I'm learning, though. I'm learning, and I'll get there. Yeah, that's another thing. And then I don't know, I guess the last thing I'll talk about tonight, I'm just going through my notes, is let's see, I got a lot of things, a lot of notes. So I'm watching this new TV show, or new show on Disney, called Marvel show, Moon Knight. And there's only one episode, and I won't give away any spoilers, but I just found it interesting and fascinating that there's some Egyptian kind of stuff to it. And I always find that interesting with Marvel and even Disney, just how they kind of key in and able to figure out what people want. Like, I noticed there's a lot of Egypt stuff right now, and a lot of people talking about pyramids and megaliths and structures like that. And then here's this new Marvel show, and what it's about, you know, has this kind of Egypt theme to it. So I just find that very interesting how Disney's able to figure that out. I don't know if they just always have. And there's a lot of TV channels and shows that come out that maybe aren't that are very good, but they're just not. I'm kind of losing what I'm the words I want to say, you know. It's hard for me to get the right words out, but how they able to get that, I don't know. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Just kind of they're able to figure out and what the current their target audience is interested in, and then they are able to get that out there. Well, I guess now that I'm losing how I'm getting my words out right, and my cats are going bonkers in here. Cat just jumped on the computer, and now there's two of them up here, so I think I'll call it good. Right, well, right after this is chapter 4, and it'll probably just end abruptly. I won't, like, say goodnight or anything. I'll just say end of chapter 4, and that'll be the end of the show. So, have a great night. Please leave a review, a rating. Share with people. Share on your pages and on your different accounts. If you want to be a guest on the show, or you want a topic you want me to talk about, let me know also. Somebody, when I asked that question on Twitter, asked me to get Lou on my show. So I'll reach out to Lou and see if he wants to come on. I don't think my show's big enough, but if he wants to come on, he's more than welcome to come on. Also, I mentioned Dakota of Earth. He's got a YouTube channel. He's also got a podcast called A Place for Humans. And I've reached out to him, too, to see if he wants to come on or if I can go on his show. Because he's a really interesting guy, that kid. Real smart, too. And so I reached out, and, you know, maybe he'll get back to me and we'll go from there. Well, have a good night, everybody. It's nighttime for me anyway. Or if you're listening during the day, have a great day or morning or evening or weekend or... And if you're on the space station or on another planet, well, have a great time. And I'll be back soon. Sometime this week. A couple more days. Good night. Hey, here we go. Chapter 4 of the Adam and Eve story. The event. 11,500 years ago. Did you ever sit down for an evening at a card table with a 1,000-piece puzzle by yourself? It takes hours and hours to put it together, doesn't it? With trial and error and patience all playing their parts. We're still trying out some of the as yet unfitted pieces in our worldwide puzzle, and we've been at the table since 1949. However, even though still not complete, it shows as a graphic representation of the Earth's picture as it was 11,500 years ago. Look at a globe of the world. Pick out longitude 90 degrees west, latitude 60 degrees north. This point is in the western part of the Hudson Bay. Now hold the globe so that spot 90 degrees west, 60 degrees north, is at the North Pole on the axis of rotation. This was the configuration of the world between 18,500 years ago and 11,500 years ago. The North Polar Ice Cap formed the Laurentian Basin in Canada. The continents, however, were not quite the same. There was a huge continent in the Atlantic Ocean, which stretched from England across the Atlantic to the Bahamas, the Caribbean Sea, and possibly even the Gulf of Mexico did not exist. There is evidence of the Caribbean being land at that time. An ice cap on the globe's opposite side from Hudson Bay covered Western Australia and Eastern Australia was burgeoning with humans, animals, birds, vegetation, and rivers. There was another continent in the Pacific, covering an area now ringed by the Hawaiian Islands, the Galapagos, Easter Island, Tahiti, the Solomons, and the Caroline Islands. Have you ever noticed the heavy sedimentary stratifications making up the top half of Diamond Head? They have the same characteristics of the strata exposed in the walls of Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, and the mysterious Canyon de Chelly. The province of Ceylon held the major civilization of India. Ayodhya in northern India was the thriving capital of that country. It was then called Ajudia. Greece, land of the Hellenes, was the home of a tall, blue-eyed, blonde race with standards of science and law unmatched to this day. The Amazon basin was an inland sea. Legends call it the Sea of Xares. And that just Xarayes is how you spell that. And, okay, I'll reread that paragraph. The Amazon basin was an inland sea. Legends call it the Sea of Xares. And the mouth of the Amazon River was then a wide seagoing connection between the Atlantic and the Sea of Xares. The western coast of South America was not mountainous. Indications are that the prehistoric city of Tiwanaku, Bolivia, now at 12,500 feet above sea level, was at sea level. It was a metropolis seaport with a canal system for seagoing ships, as large as any today, traversing from the Pacific to an inland sea. If you wish to read the details about this, read The Calendar of Tiwanaku and The Great Idol of Tiwanaku, both by Hans Schindler Bellamy and Peter Allen. They make terrific reading. Astronomers of Tiwanaku used telescopes like ours of today, and they had a huge satellite orbiting the Earth, west to east, 449 times per year, which they used as a time standard. Its orbit was so accurate. Ayodhya, now a suburb of Lucknow, was the capital of India, and the great navigators, the great scientists, the great explorers of the Eastern Hemisphere were the dark-eyed, dark-haired Mayans. India had gravity-propelled vehicles and gravity-made weaponry. About 11,500 years ago, in 9550 BC, as dated by astronomers from Potsdam Observatory from writings in the ruins of Tiwanaku, the 60-mile thick shell of the Earth shifted its position once more in a quarter to half a day, about 7,000 years after the previous shift. The North Pole moved southward, and the Sudan Basin in Africa shifted to the North Pole. This was the time, as the Talmud states, when the setting of the Pleiades below the horizon occurred, and the Holy Land was moved into a region of terrible cold for many generations. Actually, for about 4,500 to 5,000 years until Noah's flood about 7,000 years ago. The equatorial pivot points were off the coast of mid-Chile and in mid-China near the Yangtze, north of Vietnam. The great continent in the Pacific disappeared almost completely, what is now Easter Island. Then, on the edge of the continent, dropped to remain on the Pacific Ocean floor for about 5,000 years, to be heaved up in the cataclysm causing Noah's flood. What remained of the vast Pacific continent rolled to the South Pole, to be discovered by Mayan explorers as the last remains of their motherlands. a frozen reservoir of mud at the bottom of the earth. Millions of square miles in the area. Today, we see indications of the continent in the sedimentary strata in the heights of Diamond Head in the Hawaiians, and the same stratifications in most of the higher Pacific islands. Of the great continent in the Atlantic, only a large island was left in the west, while the ocean between there and Gibraltar to the east was left shallow, muddy, and impassable to ships. A thread of a clue concerning the great knowledge of that time came out when Captain Cook discovered the Polynesian Maori tribe in New Zealand in the 1700s. They told him of ancient legends of Saturn's rings, and they hadn't even heard of telescopes. Now, you try to see those rings with your naked eyes, and you'll find out that's impossible. The evidence in Tiwanaku shows that their great civilization was wiped out so suddenly that people were caught in the middle of their normal daytime activities by a catastrophic inundation. Further evidence shows that this fabulous city suffered the same fate as Easter Island. Although the Rockies and Andes were started in this cataclysm, Tiwanaku was buried under the Pacific to remain there for almost 5,000 years, then to be heaved up to its present altitude of 12,500 feet in the last cataclysm about 7,000 years ago. So, the cataclysm of 11,500 years ago saw the Hudson Bay and the opposite area just southwest of Australia both roll to the equator on opposite sides of the Earth, and the Sudan Basin roll to the North Pole, to remain there for about the next 4,500 to 5,000 years. While this shift was occurring, taking only a quarter to half a day to complete itself, the Earth's oceans and atmosphere, through angular momentum, kept rotating in their normal direction during most of the shift, with the oceans violently inundating most of the lands of the Earth at supersonic speeds, and the atmosphere bringing unimaginable hurricanes of supersonic wind velocities. Whole continents were subjected to tremendous upheavals and earthquakes. Huge mountain ranges were created. The 60-mile-thick molten layer below the 60-mile-thick shell of the Earth broke through the shell in places all over the world and was thereafter called Earth Fire by the pitiful few who survived. Pitiful few? The whole Earth? Best estimates are less than 1% of all life on our Earth. The oceans and winds took 6 days after the start of the cataclysm to resolve their holocaustic wars on the surface of the Earth, and on the seventh day began to settle down to about 5,000 years of normal activity and complacency. The 2-mile-thick ice caps of the Laurentian Basin and the Indian Ocean, having shifted from their polar homes and started a new course of revolving equatorially, proceeded to melt at tremendous speeds in the torrid heat, carving great grooves in the mountains as the rushing, gushing, swirling water and ice overwhelmed everything in their paths. The great amounts of moisture being poured into the atmosphere were to shroud the torrid zone in a dark fog for many years, during several generations. The oceans rose some 200 to 300 feet all over the world with the sudden melting of the ice caps, as they do after each cataclysm. The end of the Laurentian Ice Age and the start of the Old Stone Age was complete. The Mayan tongue lived on in scattered remnants. Polynesian tongues, Greek, Yakut, Egyptian, Eskimo tongues, nomadic, Oriental, German, American Indian, just about all languages. The resurrection from the waters, Tao, lived on in many stories from the Pacific of a man who survived later to become Taora. Tongaora or Torora, depending on which tribe's legend you find. Adam and Eve could have sprung from the same story. Who knows? End of chapter 4. All right, so just a quick announcement. My stepson, YBC Wax Gaming, he just made an announcement that he's going to be posting a new video on his YouTube channel every Friday. So once a week, he'll be posting a new gaming video. He is very entertaining, very funny. It's YBC, your boy Chance. So YBC Wax, W-A-X, Gaming. And you can find his channel on YouTube. So please check him out if you're into gaming and or if you're into funny. Either way, you know, or both, you know, you'll get a kick out of his channel. Thanks.